We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WIXR.org.
1.7 FM Memphis.
WIXR 91.7 FM here in Memphis, Tennessee. I think we call it the station with the city soul. Hanging out here on Talking Memphis. Thanks to Chip and Bryn for giving us great information on a Monday. I love great information on a Monday. Got more coming at you here during this hour because it's a very important thing that we are honoring and celebrating and receiving, and my former editor, the Daily Memphian, Peggy Birch would say, don't use fellowship as a verb. So I won't say fellowshipping here in this official capacity, but we are sharing in fellowship with another cohort of Crosstown Arts residents here in the building, here at Crosstown Concourse. We're downstairs, they're upstairs, they're all around, they're doing their thing. And I'm proud to kick this summer off of talks with residents by chatting with a longtime friend of mine, AC Bullitt. How are you doing?
I'm doing good today. How are you? Or this evening, rather.
This evening, I'm doing quite all right. I'm glad to be hanging here in the studio with you and sharing your story, sharing your name, sharing your talent, sharing your vibrancy. How do you feel to be a Crosstown Arts resident?
Honestly, it feels really good. Like, I don't know, it's just very rewarding to, I guess, have my first, you know, space and to not have to, like, tell people the type of artist that I am, and they just kind of accept me for how I am. And I feel like that just understanding provides a space and a perspective that I just have never been in before.
So now that you say that, how about you tell everyone the type of artist that you are?
So I am
once and for all.
Once and for all. I guess in the past I might have said, like, oh, I'm a photographer, I'm a filmmaker, and I know this sounds cliche, but I really am just an artist. Like, wherever I am led to focus my medium on at the time, that's just kind of what I choose to pursue. Right now, during my residency, I'm working on a film and photo exhibition that's centered around just, like, the relationship with the body. And I know photos can be, you know, they tell their own story, but I am trying to just incorporate as many moving parts into the things that I'm working on, because, you know, the body is complex, and I also want to give myself a chance to work on something that's complex, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you tell me why you applied to be in the Crosstown Arts residency.
In all honesty, I wanted to take a chance on myself. I wanted to take myself more seriously as an artist, you know, and not just be so casual about the things that I desired to pursue. And then I had just coincidentally been running into so many people that I was inspired by that had come out of the residency, and they were just like, wow, like, being able to focus or being surrounded by, you know, other artists in different mediums, like, really provided them, like, with a comfort. And I wanted a chance to experience that if I got the opportunity, you know.
And so I'm curious about how you heard about it, how you got the opportunity to just reach out and make that happen. Did you happen to hear about it on WYXR by listening to another one of these artist talks, or I wouldn't be that lucky, huh?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, it's okay.
It's okay. Sorry.
Where'd you hear about it?
Well, I am in this building all the time.
You are.
And so you hear, not too much now, and you hear the people talking about, like, residency, you know, all the different programs. And I think that unconsciously, I was like, as a Memphian, like, what are the odds of me being accepted into a program that's also here, you know? And so I feel like it just made me I feel like I didn't have a right to apply, you know, because I'm like, wow, what about all these other people that can receive these opportunities? But I'm like, also, I'm a person who needs opportunities,
that part.
And so, like I said, just going back to, like, wanting to take a chance on myself, I was like, even if I don't get it, like, just being able to, like, be in this building, like, I don't know. At the point that I applied, I was like, even if I don't get it this time, I'm just going to keep applying. Like, there was just something about the program and, like I said, just, like, how people seem to be afterwards that I think that I really wanted to be in this space, you know?
Interesting. Well, I asked you, I put you on the spot to bring some music that you feel strongly about, whether it inspires your life, whether it inspires your craft. And we're starting off with a little Santana. Tell me what this song means to you.
My mom is a big Carlos Santana fan. Like, every Saturday, she was playing Carlos Santana. And so, I don't know, I attach his music, this particular song, to, like, home, to her. And so, and I was listening to it earlier today, and okay, it's a bop. So.
Well, I'm mad at that. Well, let's bop over with some Santana. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
canto yo esta canción. África va hacia un lado a la tristeza, y otra más dulce no la podas encontrar. Oye, eso te va a sentir feliz. Oye, eso te va a sentir feliz.
WYXR 91.7 FM here in Memphis, Tennessee. That was a little Santana. Never too much, huh? AC Bullard here hanging out.
Hey, hey.
Is your first time on air in the studio here?
It is. My first time on air anywhere.
Okay, well, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'll tell you a little something. It's easy when you're with friends.
It really is.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about, tell me and tell all of our listeners who may just be tuning in to Talking Memphis, where we're here sharing a bit about our Crosstown Arts residence for the summer. AC Bullard's first up. That's AC. I know I'll speak a little quick.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about growing up in Memphis and how you even stumbled into an artistic practice.
Oh, that's a good question. Like, I've lived here my whole life, born and raised, and I think that I've always been interested in arts, which I feel like everyone probably says that, but I really have. Like, anything that I ever expressed interest in, like, my mom did a very good job of, like, allowing me the avenues to, like, explore that.
Shout out mama. Shout out mamas all over.
Right. Now, did she let me quit when I got tired? Yes. And so that became a world of problems of its own in adulthood. However, she bought me my very, very first camera when I was, like, 11, 12 years old.
Wow, so that's pretty early.
Mm-hmm. And I've just always just been fascinated with just being able to capture a moment, you know? especially in an age now where everything is so, you know, curated to look a certain type of way, there is just a realness and rawness that I always receive from all the photos being taken of my family. And it's like, when I look back on those moments, I know exactly like what was happening, like the feeling, the people that were there, the laughs that were being shared. And so like, as I got older and I started wanting to become more of a storyteller, like that heavily centered like the route in which like I wanted to tell stories.
I mean, talk to me about putting the building blocks together for a craft. I mean, you can observe photos, but starting to learn your do's, your don'ts, starting to experiment and figure out what your style is or what you feel comfortable with, or how to see something in real time with your God-given eyes, and to anticipate capturing it a certain way that will live in the photo, if that makes sense. You know, what how do you go from being an 11-year-old with a camera and being fascinated to an adult that has a deliberate and intentional practice with capturing moments?
That's a very good question. I think that we all have unique perspectives. Like, you have people that grow up in the same households that are raised the same way, and they view the world very differently, right? Like, right. That's just life. And so in terms of like translating that into like you said, an artistic practice, for me personally, like when it comes to like taking photos or anything that I'm like deciding to use as like my medium of storytelling, I just really am concerned with just like creating a small world, you know?
Wow.
And through those small worlds, I hope in even the most minuscule way that I'm able to like provide some type of alternative perspective, just solely based on like how I see things, you know? Because we get so caught up in like only being able to view the world like through our eyes, through our problems, through our wants and desires, and insert any other adjective you want to put. But it's like, if I can create something that for a moment allows someone to like step into the way that I look at things, then maybe they won't like look at themselves so harshly, or more importantly, they won't look at each other so harshly.
Yeah, you're deep.
Thank you.
So I want to speak a bit about medium, or media rather, because, you know, I've been noticing some things. And listen, I'm similar in the sense that I'm a records guy. I like to take my time and go and find the record and sit with it and go through the document. That's not necessary in 2024 to be able to hear the music, but that's a choice that I've made. I've seen a lot of people return to film in different ways, and I'm old enough to remember having to go to a Fox Photo and get things developed, or a Walgreens or a Walmart or what have you, and being able to make a decision about what you might take a picture of. Do you use film, and do you have any thoughts about the best practices when going headfirst into something like that?
I say do whatever you feel you're going to be able to keep up with, and not what is trendy, like whatever that medium is, you know, like something that you can, that you are willing to invest like time and money in, like blood, sweat, and tears into, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I shoot primarily on film just because like that's how I fell in love with cameras, you know? Like taking pictures, or like when me and my mom would go to Walgreens to pick up like my birthday pictures, and it's like being able, like having to anticipate like what is it going to look like?
Yeah.
You know? And so
and having that separation between taking an image and knowing truly what it might look like, because I mean, we get so much instant gratification now in that process. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to make that note, because that is definitely a waiting and a yearning period that we necessarily don't take the time to experience these days.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's exactly the point that I was going to get to, and that is that like we have become so impatient in like every area of our lives, and I'm so guilty of that. Like, I love like instant gratification. Like, I'm a child of like the social media age, you know? Like, I've had Instagram like since there has been Instagram, you know? And so I think that in an effort to like make myself more patient, I refocus, like, because there was a point in time where like I started shooting on film, and then I shifted to digital, like shooting digitally, whether it was like video or photos, because like, one, I could correct stuff as I needed it to, and then like it was like money there, you know? But I also feel like I lost a sense of like my voice in doing that, because it was just about like getting a product out, making sure somebody liked it. And it was like, well, that just kind of, that has nothing to do with like why I even like wanted to do this in the first place. And so I think that like when you are choosing like a practice that you want to dive into, like I said, like it needs to be something that not only that you want to invest in, but you have like the time, like you're willing to like grow with it, you know?
How have you grown since taking on and accepting the call to artistry as a vocation?
It has been, I mean, I'm still learning and still growing in so many ways in which like I don't even recognize. But I think that like just in the short time in which like I've been a part of this residency, I've like really, really learned to trust myself, you know, and that like even if, and not deviating like from what my gut feeling is in terms of like what my perspective is, you know, and just like, you know, it's not just because you can believe in yourself and like not trust yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And so like I've been really trying to like make sure like those two feelings are on the same page. And I think it has like just been very rewarding in the way in which like I am like more gentler in how I like view my art, and just how receptive I am to like criticism, like of both my own and like other people's, you mm-hmm. know. Like art is very personal for me, but I also think that like sometimes people are not gonna like it, and that is not necessarily a reflection of me. They just don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that answers your question, but
it answered several questions that I didn't even know that I had, but I'm glad that you touched on them. I'll ask you one more thing before we get into the next song, because I really like this song. Do you have any mentors?
Yes and no. Like not any like direct mentors, but I'm always open to like guidance and encouragement from all areas that it comes, you know. Like, I feel like sometimes if you seek out a mentorship, then it can make you close it off to other things. And so if I'm talking to somebody, no matter they're older or younger than me, or whether they're in the same practice I'm doing or not, if they say something that I resonate with, like, I really, really digest it, you know? Because I think that's important. Like, I'm really big on absorbing knowledge, and I don't ever want to cut off, like, where that particularly come from.
So you don't want to shout nobody out, that's what you're saying.
Shout out, Mama. I love you. I hope you're listening.
Shout out, Mama. Shout out to the mamas out there. We got mamas in the lobby right now.
Just shout out to my brother, too.
Shout out to the brothers. Should I shout out your sister?
I don't have a sister.
Yes, you do.
I do got a sister.
Okay, never mind. We'll get into this song. Here's Marvin Gaye.
Thank you.
Here's a good one from Mr. Marvin Gaye. I have a Marvin Gaye book I might read a little later on. Maybe even this evening. Thanks for putting that on my mind.
Of course.
So, we're here with AC Bullard. We're hanging out in the studio.
Hello.
You capture moments. I was going to say, you don't care which way, but you do care which way. It's just a matter of being, you accept that there are multiple ways to get it done. Mm-hmm. And some feel right in the moment. And then sometimes you put the other tools back on your tool belt. You say, maybe next time with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And could you share with people where they may have seen your work or your influence around town?
Moment of transparency. I have just started posting my work for public consumption this year. Like everything else, I kind of just did casually, and I would use it to apply to programs. But I don't think up until recently I was really open to public eyes, just because it just, like I said earlier, it felt like a very vulnerable space. Like I would show it to my family and my friends, or if I was getting ready to apply for something, I would get their insight on whether or not they thought this was a good good reflection of me. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it wasn't until this year where I really, I guess you could say, I started exacting my artistic voice. Mm-hmm. And I think when I started doing that, it made me more comfortable with showcasing what it is that I do. But if you do want to check out my work, you can go to acbullard.com.
Can I?
Yes, you can.
Oh, wow. That would be a blast. Such a treat. I will share a reflection there, because I hear what you're saying. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with keeping your art intimate if it's meaningful to you and to the people. I mean, there are some people who share it widely, and there are some people who keep it close, and you can never imagine how important it might be to somebody that you share it with them. And if that's a big choice for you, that, you know, some people, we'll share so much on Facebook or Instagram, and maybe even the person that you intended and hope would see it and have some resonance with what it is you have to share missed it. And then somebody you can't stand that's going to be a gossip, that's going to, you know, use and abuse your talent and your mindset and, just be nasty towards you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first person that might see it. So I think that there is some value in keeping your art exclusive if that's where you feel. And different art has different levels of meaning for people in that way. I mean, some areas of your career might be more private than others, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about what you did when you hit the ground running once you joined the Crosstown Arts Residency. I mean, you got set up with your studio, and, you know, have you been collaborating with the other artists? You've been getting to know the other artists, and I mean, just tell me what your day in and day out is like, and what was it like getting rolling?
So for me, moment of transparency, I can be a big procrastinator, which is not a surprise to anyone who knows me. And so I think that because, you know, residency programs are on a time limit, whether you want to believe it or not, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I think
ones are really short.
Short, and they flies past. And I think what really helped me get my thoughts together was the first initial call that I had with Johanna, where she was like, hey, you can come in and you can do nothing, you know, and just be thankful that you have a space and you get to hang out with other artists. And I think just knowing that I had the option to do nothing really inspired me to just create a schedule and deadlines for myself, which was something I had never really done before. I was if I get it done, I get it done, you know?
Maybe that was a little bit of, what do we call it? Reverse psychology on Joanna's
part. I definitely think that's what it was. And I don't know how she knew I needed to hear that, but she did, read me for filth, and I got it together.
Hmm.
And so typically, most of the stuff that I shot, I have done during my residency, like I said, I've shot on film. And so what I wanted to do was make sure that I would book shoots back to back to back to back. So that by the time I got finished and it was time for me to send my film off to get processed, then I wouldn't be sending one roll at a time, you know? I wanted to be very intentional with the way that I was planning so that my thoughts wouldn't feel so scattered, and thus like I would be interacting with people like in a very scattered, you know, frantic way, you know. Mm-hmm. And so creating a schedule for myself has just been like a lifesaver. Like,
so you've really grown. I mean, it's not just in the art, but just in your personal orientation.
Yes, like, and it's in so many small ways that I'm like constantly surprised by every day. Like, I just value the time that I give myself to like be intentional with the work that I do, and like my leisure time, because like when there's a blurred line between that, then it's like when I'm not working, when I'm working, when I'm trying to relax, then like I'm doing it kind of like half, you know. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm trying to force myself to work when I haven't given myself space to relax, here I am again doing something at half capacity, you right. know. Right. And so I really had to figure out like what my work-life balance was, you know. And as an artist, it's very important because like so much of your art is intertwined with like your everyday being, you know. I'll see something, it'll affect the way that I shoot or like the story that I want to tell. And so I think that like mapping out time where I could really figure out what thoughts I was having and what I needed to say, it made a difference and has been very instrumental in like what I feel has, like, I feel like I've had like a good run here.
Wow. Well, we're hanging with AC Bullard of the Crossland Arts Residency, the summer cohort of 2024. You know, I was into that conversation, but I feel like your next song is a little tied to just mm-hmm. exactly what you were talking about. This one's called Hard Work. I don't know this one, so I'm ready to hear it.
Don't tell me it's over. Let's try again, try again, try again, try again, try again.
It's gonna take some hard work in me.
WYXR 91.7 FM in these streets. We're hanging out. We're talking Memphis. That's what we do. It's not just good enough to just be Memphis. Sometimes you got to talk about it. You got to sit down and let people know, hey, this is what we are here to do. This is why we are here. This is how we got here, and this is where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Got AC Bullard hanging out. Hello. We're more than halfway through this thing. Can you believe it? You talked about how time just flies by.
You know, I was just looking at the clock, and I was like, wow.
Time keep on slipping. Tell me about the last song that we heard.
It's called Hard Work. And I like the song. Unfortunately, it has nothing. Well, there are some layered messages in there, you know, about hard work. I think the song is about relationships, but you know, everything requires hard work, whether we want to do it or not.
Well, are you not in a relationship with your practice and your craft?
Yes.
And with yourself?
Yes. This is the longest relationship that I have and will ever be in. And I think that prioritizing like who I am, the things that I like, the things that I'm interested in, you know, that's hard work.
You want to know something? I just realized when you said it like that.
What?
No matter how bad you treat yourself, you can't break up.
You can't break up.
Yeah.
And then if you treat yourself really, really badly, guess what? The body stores trauma. It's going to treat you badly back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had something else I want to say about that, but I'll tell you off air. So, I mean, with the time that you have left in this experience here at the Crosstown Arts Residency, I mean, what is it that you want to accomplish that you haven't yet?
I don't know yet. And when I find the answer, you will be the first person I let know.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I've been put on notice. Tell me about the other people in the residency, how you've been able to connect and collaborate with them.
So Johanna does a really good job of making sure that, like, once a week we all get together and chit-chat. And most of the time we are all in our own little worlds, you know, just really, really trying to make the best of, like, the resources that we have, you know, and just, like, really using everything that we can. But anytime, like, we do run into each other or, like, really get a chance to, like, sit and talk, it's just, I don't know, it's very nice to, like, this is going to sound so crazy, but it's very nice to hear somebody, like, struggle with the things that you struggle with, and their, like, medium is, like, very, very different from yours, you know? Because it's, like I said earlier, like, it's so easy to get wrapped up in your own perception and your own problems, and while, like, that's something that I hope to break with my art, that does not mean that I'm not guilty of also doing that, you know? And so just seeing the way that they, like, conceptualize art, how they work through, like, whatever problems, even their method of just, like, creating is, like, so different from my own, and that has just been very wonderful to absorb, because I feel like it is allowing me to, like, look at my art differently, you know.
Yeah. So at some point you have to show as well, I mean, or at least present. There's, like, an open house typically with the residency that people can come and get to know the artists and hear a little bit about what your experience has been.
Absolutely. So on July 19th we actually have our open studios, and so that'll be a chance for people to come and, you know, not only see what we've been working on and just, like, the things that we have been able to, like, do in this space, but, you know, just learn a little bit more about who we are. Because I feel like the more you know about a person, the more that you are able to just, like, really understand the things that they do, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, looking at something without knowing the background of anything, but it's, like, when you really, really want to, like, digest something, you know, you gotta, it behooves you to sit and talk for a moment, you
know?
Come
on, behoove. So we're excited to be potentially those of us who might be listening that will pull up to you and see a little and hear and learn a little bit more about what it is you do. And I know that there's so many people with burning, pressing questions. They've been listening to you this whole hour, and you've been extremely insightful. If they just can't wait, they can call us at 901-460-3031. And whether or not we're still sitting in here, they can ask the question, and then I'll relay it to you, and then you'll get back with me, and then I'll get back with them.
Exactly. That seems so easy.
You know what else will be really easy?
What?
Listening to the voice of Sampha coming up here in a bit. You ready for this song?
I'm ready. I love this song.
Suspense. Lifted by her love, I felt lifted from above. Suspense. Down.
Drowning more and more, sipping on red wine, I spilled it on the floor. Then I find myself all washed up by the shore. Artificial light, a glowing phone, the source. It will wake me up, along with no remorse. Then I find this memory when we were high abroad, round about the time that we were still unsure. Stepping on this photo, I really do j'adore. The vanilla skies, we step onto the moor. In Italy, in Florence, where we walk, the sun is shines, the yellow tint. We talk, can we go back to how we were before? But we're not where we used to be. Of course, I lost the map, but still we could explore. We're going up, we're wired to the force. A force where, on course where, of course where, suspend.
Please Don't Let Me. I'm sorry, I'm ruining. I'm teasing a song we hadn't played yet.
Mm-hmm. And you just completely skipped over the Strokes.
No, that's what we just played. It was down. We were talking that whole time.
I know, but I'm saying you jumped into the last song, and you didn't give the Strokes the credit that they needed.
Oh, well, that's what we do. That's what they call a back announce.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That means you can do that now.
Okay.
Yeah, so please.
That's one of my favorite songs by the Strokes.
Okay, well, tell me more about why it's one of your favorite songs that you felt so vehemently that I had not given it its just due.
It's a good song, and that's really it.
Okay, well, I'll take that. We're here with AC Bullard here on Talking Memphis once a week on Monday night. We get together and we talk. We talk to people who have impacted Memphis, people who are impacting Memphis. And we're talking to you. We're talking at you. We're coming at you. AC, any thoughts, final things you would like to share with everyone who's been listening?
I guess that time is not real, and it's never too late to decide that you want to refocus your attention on yourself.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I feel like I get a strong sense that someone at home really needed to hear that. Someone that's driving really needed to hear that. But I also get a strong sense they're going to heed your advice, and they're going to take some time tonight and do that for themselves.
I hope so.
And I also have to thank you for giving me some advice. These last few times that we've been around one another, you've really directed and guided me.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like I'd be unconsciously talking to myself.
Understood.
You know?
Sometimes you just need somebody to say, hey, just shake you up and say, hey, listen, did you just hear what you said? The nugget was in what you just said. You already know what to do. Just be true.
And you be knowing what to do.
Be knowing what to do, and just keeping it true.
Mm-hmm.
We got one last song. You want to ride out to this last song? Because I think I'm going to go home and watch the Grizzlies play summer league basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What you going to do tonight?
You
going to create?
No, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a much needed deep sleep.
Come on, deep sleep. All right. She's a poet. She didn't know it. AC Bullard, thank you for coming by. I can't wait to hear from the rest of the Crosstown Arts residents. And let people know one more time where they can go and they can meet all of y'all in person to hear a bit more about the work you've been doing.
You can come and see me and all of the wonderful people I've had the honor of getting to know on July 19th here at Crosstown. Do I know the times? I do not, and that is so bad, but I know it starts after 6 or at 6, you know? And that'll give you the chance to not only, you know, come and yap with us, but like really dive into our practices and what we've been working on. And I think you'll like it. You'll love it, actually.
All yap, but no cap. Thanks so much, AC, for hanging.
Thank you so much.
Do you want to introduce this song? It's coming up.
Yes, by the breathtaking, earth-shaking Nina Simone. Please tune your ears to Please Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood.
If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul. Get more than my share, but that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, baby, I'm just human. Don't you know I
sing some simple thing that I've done. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard, so please don't let me be.
Now you ask, so why this?